This morning, I'm going to talk with you about advice. Advice. Before we get into God's Word and talk about advice together, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord. And may these words from your word bring blessing and encouragement and refreshment and wisdom to us. May we hear you, God, through your word. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Advice. So, question for you. Who do you listen to for advice and why? Why do you listen to them? Now, some advice, you can take it or leave it, right? For example, always keep your words soft and sweet just in case you have to eat them. Okay? Never buy a car you can't push. All right? When everything's coming your way, you may be in the wrong lane. Find out what you don't do well and then don't do it. It's pretty good. I mean, find out what you can do well and do it. That's good advice, actually. Never put both feet in your mouth at the same time because then you won't have a leg to stand on. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of bandages and adhesive tape. All right? It may be that your sole purpose in life is simply to serve as a warning to others. Finally, don't take yourself too seriously because nobody else does. No one else does either. Okay. Now, some advice should just be rejected out of hand, right? For example, don't worry about the cost. Just charge it, right? How about this timeshare in Venezuela will be the greatest investment of your life, right? Just reject this, by the way. I'm saying this is stuff, just reject it. If you max out your credit card, just get another one. It's like free money. All these are having to do with money. You notice that? Bad advice. Just reject these. You could fill in the blanks about other ways where if people come at you and say, here's a great way, and it involves separating you from your money, might be bad advice. Now, some advice, though, should be listened to. Some is just good advice. Drink plenty of water. Yeah, you see, you know that already. So, just to put an example to that. It's always good advice. Drink plenty of water. Get plenty of rest. Yeah. Drink plenty of water. Get plenty of rest. These are good advice, right? Turn off whatever screen you're looking at and pick up your Bible. It's good advice. We need to heed that one. Read your Bible more. Pray more. Talk to God. Listen to God more. That's always good advice. So, who are you listening to these days? A lot of advice that we hear, it really depends on the source, who's giving it, and the purpose. What's the purpose, the motivation for these words of advice? So let's go to the best source, God's Word together. I'm going to look at 1 Kings, starting in chapter 11, right at the end of chapter 11 of 1 Kings, and on into the first 19 verses of chapter 12. Starting with the death of King Solomon and going into the reign of his son, Rehoboam, who's the next in line. So 1 Kings 11:42, Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel for 40 years. Then he rested with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David, his father. And Rehoboam, his son, succeeded him as king. Chapter 12. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone there to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard this, he was still in Egypt where he had fled from King Solomon, he returned from Egypt. So they sent for Jeroboam, and he and the whole assembly of Israel went to Rehoboam and said to him, your father, speaking of Solomon, put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke he put on us, and we will serve you. Rehoboam answered, go away for 3 days, and then come back to me. So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. "How would you advise me to answer these people?" he asked. They replied, "If today you will be a servant to these people and serve them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servants." But Rehoboam rejected the advice the elders gave him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. He asked them, "What is your advice? How should we answer these people who say to me, 'Lighten the yoke your father put on us'?" The young men who had grown up with him replied, "These people have said to you, 'Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter.' Now tell them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's waist. My father laid on you a heavy yoke. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions.'" 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to Rehoboam, as the king had said, "Come back to me in 3 days." The king answered the people harshly. Rejecting the advice given him by the elders, he followed the advice of the young men and said, "My father made your yoke heavy. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions." So the king did not listen to the people, for this turn of events was from the Lord, to fulfill the word of the Lord that he had spoken to Jeroboam, son of Nebat, through Ahijah the Shilonite. When all Israel saw that the king refused to listen to them, they answered the king, "What share do we have in David? What part in Jesse's son? To your tents, Israel. Look after your own house, David." So the Israelites went home. But as for the Israelites who were living in the towns of Judah, Rehoboam still ruled over them. King Rehoboam sent out Adoniram, who was in charge of forced labor, but all Israel stoned him to death. King Rehoboam, however, managed to get into his chariot and escape to Jerusalem. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. We're going to look first at Rehoboam. Now, we kind of get lost in this, you know, here, Jeroboam, Rehoboam. Rehoboam is the son of Solomon. And now Rehoboam succeeds Solomon to the throne, to be king over Israel. First there was King Saul, then there was King David, then King Solomon, and now fourth king, Rehoboam. I want to look at him. He's the son of the wisest man on earth. Now, Rehoboam's father, Solomon, had given him great advice about advice, not only to Rehoboam, his son, but to any who would hear King Solomon. And we can hear them because he wrote some of these in the Proverbs. So here's just a few examples, starting with Proverbs 12, verse 15. Again, this is advice about advice. It says, "The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice." That's Proverbs 12, 15. Going to Proverbs 15, a few chapters later, verse 22. "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed." About getting advice. And then a few more chapters into Proverbs 19, verse 20 and 21. "Listen to advice and accept discipline, and at the end you'll be counted among the wise. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." And finally, going back to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And in verse 8, Proverbs 1, Solomon says, and you can picture him saying this to Rehoboam, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." King Solomon saying, listen, seek counsel, get advice, listen to words of wisdom. Now, Rehoboam, we come back to 1 Kings 12 here. At first, given this situation, the people are coming to him now that he's king. They said, "Your father, King Solomon, laid a heavy burden on us," and they're asking him to lighten that. Rehoboam sends them away, and at first this seems like wise a wise decision on his part, right? Go away for 3 days, he says, and come back to me, and I will give you my answer. And then he says, he gets the elders to come and give him advice. Now, this is what Solomon had told him to do, right? Seek counsel, get advice, good idea. We read the advice from the elders. They said, if today you will be a servant to these people and serve them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servants. Verse 8, though, but Rehoboam rejected the advice the elders gave him. He just rejected it. He consulted them. What is it? Rejected it out of hand. It causes me to pause right there, you know, was he really listening? Why does he just reject it? He hasn't gotten any other advice yet. He simply rejects it. Is he seeking something else? Is he really seeking advice? Go on here. We're going to look at the advice itself that these elders gave to him. First, consider the source. Now, I'm already kind of playing my hand or showing my hand that I'm calling this good advice, but let's look at it and say, is this good advice? So first, we consider the source. These are the elders who had served King Solomon, Rehoboam's father. Okay? So these are men who are probably a little older. They've had life experience. They'd gone through the ups and downs with Solomon, who reigned 40 years over Israel. So there's that. But think about this. These are men who were advisors to the wisest man on earth. These are men who were advisors, counselors, gave advice, and served under the wisest man on earth. Now, that's something right there. We can actually look at some of who these men were when we go back to 1 Kings chapter 4. I'm not going to read this whole chapter, but I just want to mention a few. 1 Kings 4, it says, Solomon's officials and governors. So King Solomon ruled over all Israel, and these were his chief officials. Azariah, the priest. Elihoreph and Ahijah, secretaries. Jehoshaphat and son of Ahilud, they have these names, recorder. Benaiah, commander-in-chief, right there. Zadok and Abiathar, priests. Azariah, son of Nathan. I'm going to pause there. Who's Nathan? Why does it mention this? Nathan was a prophet, and he was an advisor, a counselor to King David, right? So, and he was wise. So now we have his son, who's in charge of the district governors, and then it says Zabud, son of Nathan, another son of Nathan, who was a priest, and it says right here, and advisor to the king. Son of Nathan the prophet, now he's an advisor to King Solomon. Ahishar, palace administrator, and on. It goes, Solomon had 12 district governors over all Israel who supplied provisions for the king and the royal household. Each one had to provide supplies for 1 month in the year. So he has 12 men, each in charge of providing for the king and his household in the palace 1 month out of the year. I won't read through the next list of names other than the first one. There's a movie and a book many years ago. First name is Ben-Hur. Heard that name before? Here he is. First one of these 12 governors who are listed serving Solomon. I'm going to go on to verse 20. The people, so we say, well, how are these men doing with Solomon? How was Solomon doing as king at this time? 1 Kings 4:20 says, the people of Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They ate, they drank, and they were happy. Thinks things are going pretty well with the kingdom? At this point, really well. And Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms from the Euphrates River to the land of the Philistines as far as the border of Egypt. Those countries brought tribute and were Solomon's subjects all his life. Verse 24, he ruled over all the kingdoms west of the Euphrates River from Tifsa to Gaza and had peace on all sides. How are the people under his reign? They ate, they drank, and they were happy. Sounds pretty good. How were all the countries around them? They were paying tribute to King Solomon, and they were at peace. Things sound pretty good with this kingdom right here? Really well. Like, almost perfect. During Solomon's lifetime, Judah and Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, lived in safety. Everyone under their own vine and under their own fig tree. The district governors, each in his month, supplied provisions for King Solomon, and all who came to the king's table, they saw to it that nothing was lacking. Do these men sound like they're doing a pretty good job under King Solomon? Again, it sounds almost perfect. It's like, wow. Now, we know things got worse in some ways later in his reign, but these were the men who advised. So we consider the source. Do you think Rehoboam maybe should have listened to these guys? I think so, but he rejected them. He rejected them. Now consider the purpose of the advice they actually gave to him. Hear it again. So Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon. Rehoboam says, "How would you advise me to answer these people?" The elders replied, "If today you will be a servant to these people and serve them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servants." What's the purpose of this advice? In a word, we could say, to serve. You, King Rehoboam, should serve these people. And to serve them means to what? Listen to their request, right? And give them a favorable answer. That's the purpose. Does that sound like good advice to you? It sounds like good advice to me. In fact, there is one wiser than Solomon, one greater, much greater than Solomon, we read about in the New Testament. His name is Jesus. And these are Jesus' words from Matthew chapter 20 that fit right into this context of this advice. Jesus speaking to the 12 disciples, he said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Were these elders, was their advice to Rehoboam sound, even in accord with what Jesus would say? Exactly, right? If you want to be king, if you want to be first, if you want to be leader of all these people and govern them rightly, serve them. Give them a favorable response. Good purpose. Now consider the outcome. They even say, if you do this, King Rehoboam, here's what will happen. They, the people, will serve you as their king with honor and loyalty. They'll be faithful to you. They will, how does he say it? They say, they will always be your servants. Good outcome, good advice, across the board. Devoted. But again, he rejects it. It says, but Rehoboam rejected their advice. You know, I pause again. Why did he even bother consulting them? Because it sure seems like he wasn't going to really listen to what they said, right? Was he hoping they'd say something else? Was he just putting on a show, a front, you know, I should probably consult the elders first? I don't know. We'll go on to the next part here. We're going to look at the next piece of advice that Rehoboam receives. And we're going to look and consider this, the source, the purpose, the outcome, and see if this next piece of advice was good or not. So we consider the source. Rehoboam rejected the advice the elders gave him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. Now, right there, it's not necessarily bad, okay, considering the source, the young men who had grown up with him and who are now serving him. And I want to give two examples of why I say that. If we go into the book of Job, you know, Job was suffering greatly. He had three friends, they're called friends, who come to comfort him, but also to advise him and give him advice. And their advice is terrible. And then we come later in Job to chapter 32, and it says, now Elihu, this other man shows up, a young man. Elihu had waited before speaking to Job because they, the other three, were older than he was. But when he saw that the three men had nothing more to say, his anger was aroused. So Elihu, son of Barachel, the Buzite, said, I am young in years, and you are old. That is why I was fearful, not daring to tell you what I know. I thought age should speak. Advanced years should teach wisdom. Advanced years should teach wisdom, he said. But it is the spirit in a person, the breath of the Almighty, that gives them understanding. It is not only the old who are wise, not only the aged who understand what is right. And Elihu goes on. And Elihu is the one, the young man, who had waited his turn out of respect and thinking these older men should speak wisdom into the situation. They did not. And he says something very wise. It's not the age. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God who gives true wisdom. And then he speaks wisdom. I have a New Testament example too. I'm going to go to 1 Timothy. This is a letter written by the Apostle Paul, who is at this point older, going on in years, and he's writing this letter to Timothy, who's a young man and his protege in ministry. And Paul says to Timothy, this is 1 Timothy 4:12, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." So, Timothy, don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Don't let people look down on you simply because you're young. This next verse I want to read just because I like it. Verse 13, Paul says, "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture," as I'm doing now, "to preaching and to teaching," and on. So, Timothy, you have the gift from God, the Holy Spirit. You have His word, words of wisdom. So not necessarily, just want to say, just because they're younger, and, you know, it's not necessarily bad, but we'll go on. Now let's look at what they actually say, okay? So the young men who grew up with Rehoboam, they said, Rehoboam asks, "What is your advice? How should we?" It's interesting, now he doesn't say, "How should I answer?" But now he says, "How should we answer these people who say to me, 'Lighten the yoke your father put on us'?" So here's the young men and their response. They said, "These people have said to you, 'Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter.' Now tell them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's waist.'" You kind of feel like, uh-oh, whoa, where are they going with this? "Said, 'My father laid on you a heavy yoke. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions.'" What kind of advice are they giving here? We consider the source. Now consider the purpose. Well, first, it's kind of like they're just saying, they're asking you to make the burden on them lighter. Here's what we say, Rehoboam. You tell them, you show them, you crush them. What is the purpose here of this so-called advice? Power. Tell them, show them, crush them. You show them who's in charge. You say they want to make it lighter. You say no. Make it worse. Is there some underlying motive to what they're doing here? The Bible doesn't tell us, but you kind of pause and think, why are they saying this to Rehoboam? Well, let's consider the outcome. They don't say what the outcome will be. We read what the outcome is. The people actually revolt. They rebel. They leave Rehoboam. And in fact, he ends up having to flee for his own life. Because of what happens because of this, his response. But the outcome, these young men who advise Rehoboam with this, they don't see it, right? In fact, if they were to see something, if they were to imagine, well, what's going to be the response of the people from this? I'm thinking they must just think the people would say, "Oh, okay, king," and they'll bow down and be afraid, and, you know, that doesn't happen, right? The people rise up. If these young men had, if they'd had even an ounce of humility before God, humility before the elders who had advised King Solomon, humility before the people of Israel, even announced they might have noticed or thought about the flaw in their plan. But they simply don't see it. They're blind by their own pride and arrogance and ambition. Rehoboam's grandfather, King David. So Solomon wrote the Proverbs and other words of wisdom. King David wrote almost half of the 150 Psalms that we have in the Bible. And these young men, I'm sure they weren't realizing this at all at the moment, but they were personifying, embodying Psalm 36, verses 2 and 3 that King David had written years earlier. Listen to this. "In their own eyes, they flatter themselves too much to detect or hate their sin. In their own eyes, they flatter themselves too much to detect or hate their sin. They don't see it. The words of their mouths are wicked and deceitful. They fail to act wisely and do good. This describes these young men and Rehoboam as he listens to and follows their advice. So, who was Rehoboam really listening to? You know, his father Solomon had said, listen to people who are wise, seek their counsel. Well, unlike his father Solomon, at least starting out, remember King Solomon started out by asking God for a listening heart, a discerning heart. When the Lord said to Solomon, ask me for whatever you want me to give you. And Solomon said, a heart that hears. A listening heart so that I can discern people and lead them, God, according to how you would want me to lead them. A heart that listens to God and listens to people. You know, and at first when you read this story about Rehoboam, I think when he sends the people away after they make that request, he sends them away and says, come back in 3 days. And at first you think, well, that sounds like a good idea. Take some time, you might say, to think about it. But what should Rehoboam been doing first, middle, and last during those 3 days himself? Who should he have been seeking wisdom and advice from first? God. Exactly. God is not referenced in here at all. Rehoboam has no connection. But if he'd taken those 3 days, first, middle, and last, to pray and seek God's advice, as it were, his wisdom, and then consulted the elders, and still maybe the young men, just to hear and listen and discern where they're all coming from, that would have been a very different story, right? God is not even part of the picture here. So then he does consult the elders, it says, but again, did he really listen at all to what they even said? His ears probably heard the words, but was his heart listening, you know? I picture Rehoboam, his face, as he's hearing the elders, and I picture his face probably one of two ways. Either kind of mocking, like, yeah, old men, great, that sounds great. You know, just that face of, not listening, not really taking it in. Or just simply glazed over. Eyes are like, not really taking in these words. You know that the mind rejects what the heart is hardened to. And his heart was already hard toward them, you can tell. And so it was rejected without even considering their advice at all. So he consults his peers. Now guess what? These young men, it says, they had grown up with him, with Prince Rehoboam. So that means they knew him a bit, right? Which means they knew a little of Rehoboam's heart, or at least kind of the inclination of it. You know, what drives him? They had a sense, probably. Which means they probably knew what he wanted to hear. Right? He's the king now. And they probably got wind that the elders had given him advice and that he'd rejected that already. So they're thinking, well, he doesn't want to hear that. We know him a little bit. What do you think he wants to hear? Now, who wants to tell him what he doesn't want to hear? They grew up with him, and now he's the king. Now, if anyone comes into great money or power or celebrity, and people who knew them back when, you know, what do they sometimes want to do or get from that person who's now kind of risen in prominence? Well, maybe the sinful inclination is, maybe we can glean a little of that power or influence or money or fame, right? And now their friend is the king. So they give him this advice. Tell him. You tell him, Rehoboam. You show him. You crush him. Rehoboam apparently liked that advice. I got to put advice back in the quotation marks. Were they actually giving him advice or counsel? They're feeding his ego, his pride, his ambition. That's not advice. That's flattery, right? There's a term, I think, they're yes men, the people who just want to say to someone what that person wants to hear. Yes, Rehoboam, this is what you should do. Do what you want to do. Yeah. So this means in the end, we come back, who was Rehoboam really only listening to all along? Himself. He was only listening to himself. When you're not listening to God, first of all, and then you're not really listening to others who may have wise counsel for you like the elders did, you know, you're not listening to God, you're not listening to others who do have wisdom, then the advice that you give yourself in that context is never any good because you're not listening to the sources of wisdom to begin with. So, my brothers and sisters in Christ, again, the question, who are you listening to these days? If it's not God, and what you hear is not pleasing to God, it's no good. If it's not God you're listening to, and what you're hearing is not pleasing to God, it's no good. Here is some godly advice that is always sound. Three things. Number one, repent. No matter how you're doing today, no matter where you're at in your walk with the Lord, this is always sound. To repent, which is to confess your sins to God, to turn from your own selfish, prideful heart and any sin, every sin, and turn to God. Repent means to turn to Him. Always good advice to turn to God. Number two, receive God's grace. When you repent and return to God and turn to Him and confess your sins, the Bible says, and we heard it today, God is faithful and just and will always, He promises, forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all impurity and unrighteousness. God does that. Receive that grace, which is to receive His mercy, His love. You don't even know how much He loves you. You've heard it, I hope, how much God loves you, that He sent Jesus to die for you on the cross in your place. But none of us actually even knows how much God loves us. Paul writes about his prayer that we would know that love, this love that we actually can't know, it surpasses our understanding, but that we would know it nonetheless. Receive God's mercy, love, forgiveness, and grace. And you know, the Bible tells us He gives us a new heart. A heart that can hear Him and desire Him and seek Him. Repent, receive God's grace. Third, follow Jesus Christ. Always good advice. Follow Him. That is, in daily prayer, daily, nightly, spending time with God. Talking to Him, listening to Him, goes along with reading His word, hearing His word at church, reading His word on your own, listening to God, and through worship and fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, others who can encourage us and we can encourage in our walk in following Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You and praise You for Jesus. Jesus, You are our wisdom. You are our Savior. Lord, again, we prayed earlier, but I pray again now for myself, for each of us, for all of us, that You would forgive us our sins, that You would fill us with Your Holy Spirit, that You would help us to set our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, to follow Him through everything, through thick and thin in life, to the very end, till we see You face to face one day. Lord, thank You for Your word. Thank You for wisdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.